Welcome, everybody, to Issue 72, Heroes Asylum. Oh, yes, man, we are just booking along. I'm up to 72 already. I am here with my friendly neighborhood, Kane. How you doing, my friend?
How you doing, sir?
Good, happy good. Sunday. It's been a fun weekend, you and I hanging out together. We are sort of put ourselves back into lockdown. we're definitely kicking out some midnight movies on our sister podcast channel. At least we're doing one a week now, it seems like.
Yeah, pretty much. I think that's what we decided to do.
Yeah, and it was a fun night. We
that was probably one of the funnest ones we've ever done, yeah. To be honest. That was just like, it was out of the genre of the comic sci-fi stuff. It was something completely different, actually, what you thought about. And just the fun, silly movie. Yeah. I mean, you just, like you said at the beginning of it, you know, a little bit of escapism.
Yeah, straight up popcorn.
That's
movie.
What it was. Straight up popcorn.
Yeah, we did Deep Blue Sea, so that should be out following this release. I'll probably get it out this week on around Wednesday or Thursday. So hopefully you guys can check that out. Again, on our sister podcast, you can check that out, Midnight Movies, but you can see the link to that on our Heroes Asylum page or our website and our Facebook page too. So make sure you guys get over there and check that out. This week we're going freestyle. We're just gonna chill out and do a little new format and just have fun. Just something that we would been kind of missing on here. We're still gonna talk about the news, rumors, that kind of stuff, but we're just gonna keep it more casual from here on out. Something that Kane and I thought would be a little bit more fun. And, you know, just chilling out with two guys, you know, having drinks. Well, I'm not drinking. I'm having water, but, you know, you're over there with your blue milk.
Yeah, I'm drinking some blue milk right now. It's leftover blue milk from a nefarious night that I guess lives in infamy somewhere on the interwebs.
It's not on the interweb. No, that has been kept internal, but it is out there.
Oh, boy.
Or oh, in here. That's just, yeah. So, yeah, by the way, man, I gotta tell you, man, good call on the shirt. By the way, I'm digging that shirt. Anybody want to check that out? We are on YouTube, and if you guys want to check that out, Kane's wearing.
Yeah, this is the Dawnbreaker from Dark Knights Metal. Actually, I collected all of them from the Dark Knights of the first run, and it's a celebration actually for the release of Death Metal, which came out this week, issue one.
Yes, it did.
Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo returning for the follow up. Actually, one of the coolest things I saw about that was I don't know if you saw this, they released a trailer for it, and it had a new Marilyn Manson song. It was really cool, and the whole teaser trailer is just really well done. It's basically the Batman who laughs, like beating the crap out of Batman. He's rocking with the guitar. I'm like, this is freaking metal as hell. I mean, they really live up to that name, and they see a couple other things go on, and I just finished issue one, so it's pretty good so far. I kind of dig it, the whole Batman thing where he's going. Batman who laughs is in control with Perpetua. You guys don't know, it's like the basis, the whole spine of the story right now. And they're moving forward. It's going to be a 7-issue run. It's not going to be as long as the first incarnation of Dark Knights Metal, which was like 6 issues. Then you had a couple side issues.
Yeah, a couple, you had a bunch of them. I think when I sat down to look at the list of, because I wanted to get all the companion pieces, all the companion books. And that, I was like, holy, I mean, we're talking like 20, 25 books, I think.
Is it? Because I'm trying to think, like,
it's up there.
I know they had the side ones with the side, they had like the spin-offs, the one-offs with the characters, yeah. Like the evil Batman. I know that. Then a couple other ones spun out, like this is brought to you, this connects to metal. I got a couple of them. I'm not sure if I have them all. I have to look that up. I know there was a Green Arrow one. There was a Titans one that was released. That's the first appearance of the Batman Who Laughs, which actually is I got that first print, so hopefully it'll be worth something someday. But yeah, I got that, and yeah, it's actually pretty decent. I mean, I know you know your thoughts on metal. It's not the greatest thing in the world. I just like it for the fun of it, and it's so freaking metal.
Yeah, if anybody listens back to post or other episodes, yeah, I have a story structure issue with metal.
But you're not wrong. Not wrong. Like you said it, you were right. I mean, I agree with it story-wise. It sucks. But I think the characters makes up for it. It's
well,
kind of like one of those things.
Again, you're the bat mark here. So, you know, it's all geared at you, man. So it's.
Oh, yes. they went into my little head and they wrote all this down. And they included metal music. And they had their own soundtrack, too. I think they're making another soundtrack.
Nice. That'll be
Death Metal Man. So look for that. I think it's on Amazon Record or something.
I believe so, if I remember seeing it.
See, so yeah, it's coming down the pike. Just check it out. It's the trailer's on YouTube. I forgot the name of the Manson song. It's a brand new one because I can't even find it.
Yeah, Spotify. I didn't find it either because I'm a old school Manson head. I've seen them. Shit, God.
It's called like Wreckage of the something. It's called Wreckage or something.
I think I've seen Manson like 5 times, and I even saw them back when they were because I'm being here in Florida. They started here in Florida, Miami. And they would come up to our local.
Wasn't it Jacksonville they started at?
No. Miami was where they started at because they were around the same time as the Two Life Crew with the one album that got pulled from all the record stores because being too hard, naughty as they want to be or nasty as they want to be. And they were around as teenagers. They were they're just a few years around our age. And he was influenced by that because of all the protests that were going on. And so. And him and there was another band here locally called Genitortures. They're still touring around too.
Yeah, I think they're still doing
stuff. They used to come up to the Edge here in Orlando, or the old Edge. Rest in peace. Moment of silence for the Edge. Every time I drive by it.
Oh boy.
So many great bands. But I actually saw them. It was Marilyn Manson and the Spooky Kids is what they originally were, and they would come out with little lunchboxes. And of course, one of their songs was Lunchbox. Off of their original album, but that was something like that's why when I heard Manson, I was like, ooh, okay, let me see what the rest of this is, and I couldn't find the song either.
Yeah, it's out. It's just on YouTube now. I'm playing with that video, so check it out. I don't know where it's at.
Did you see Ian Holm died? Age 88.
Yeah, that sucks, man. And he lived a long life. Was he 92?
No, 88. What 88? I just said, okay. Yeah. See, I told you don't listen.
92, right? Hey, I get close though.
But yeah, I mean,
I'm your man.
Chariots of Fire, Lord of the Rings for Bilbo Baggins, and then of course, my favorite villain for almost one of my top villains. I'll have to put him in the top villain of sci-fi was Ash from Alien, the first Alien movie.
He was actually in another sci-fi movie where he did a complete opposite of Ash. One of my favorite sci-fi movies of all time, The Fifth Element. He was Cornelius. He was
priest. That's right. Yeah, he was the priest. I forgot about that. Yep.
And he also was in another sci-fi movie, very influential, if you remember this one, Brazil, which was a deep cut. That's a deep one. Check that one out. It's an old school sci-fi dystopian future type thing. And he was in that. And he's also in The Madness of King George. That's another one I remember too.
From what I saw, apparently he was suffering with Parkinson's disease. I didn't hear much about it, and just this coming up. But yeah, it was just one of those shocking ones that came out. I was like, man, that one hits kind of home, just like last week with Denny O'Neill. So just one of those folks that you just remember from your youth and things that you just love. You're always happy to see him in something, especially like you just said, Fifth Element.
Yeah. I mean, you can name a ton of movies besides those. I mean, there was TV series. Then he worked on a ton of stuff in the BBC. So he had a good career. Nice body of work. So rest in peace.
Yeah.
Bilbo Baggins. Bill. I keep thinking of that weird song from Leonard Nimoy.
Leonard Nimoy. Yeah.
Bilbo Baggins.
Did you read anything about the new? I know we talked about it last week, but so much came out this week about it. But the DC fandom, or fandome, as they're calling it.
Yeah, I mean, apparently from what I've read, they're saving all their good stuff for that event. I don't know if they're going to do anything for Comic-Con.
No, they're not doing. They're not doing San Diego. Remember when we reviewed last week? San Diego's going digital, and DC said that they're going digital as well, but they're not going to be doing anything for San Diego. So this is theirs.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
To do that. I mean, they could roll out a lot of stuff. I mean, the Batman's going to get back in production, I think, in a couple weeks. Suicide Squad's already in the can. Mm-hmm. What else they got coming up?
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman 84.
And then Black Adam. So because they already announced, I saw Dwayne, The Rock Johnson, he posted that he's going to be there at the fandom. So
really, yeah. See, now that's So that's intriguing because he doesn't do those a lot.
No, and I think that's a big pull, and that's something to really push for what they're trying to do. I mean, and then they're going to have the full cast from the Suicide Squad there to probably, you know, debut maybe a new trailer. Maybe that's when they're going to show the trailer. Your Batman game you've been talking about that you like, we haven't gotten any word, but we know it's coming out. That might be a place that they might drop that at.
I think we talked about that. Was it a couple of weeks ago? That's a good place to drop it.
Yeah.
I mean, why not? I mean, that'd be perfect. I mean, like, you get them excited. I mean, like, you have the movie coming out next year, then a video game. It's time to relight the bat signal, as they say.
Yeah. But they're talking everything. Everything DC, from CW to DCU to HBO Max, all those casts. They're saying the cast and casting creators are supposed to show up for Aquaman, Batman, Batwoman, you know, Suicide Squad. We might even get introduced to our new Batwoman at that time.
I mean, that's what I was just going to say. Cool. Yeah, there's been rumors of a couple actresses out there who are in the lead. Just choose the best one. I mean, I don't care who it is either way. I mean, I have some thoughts. I always thought the girl who was on Krypton, I forgot her, Wallace Day, I think is her name.
The blonde girl?
The blonde haired girl. Yeah. I thought she could be a really good Batwoman.
Never know.
She's got a decent build.
She might be under contract with WB, so maybe they may, you know, throw her something.
Yeah. Yeah. Throw her a bone, why not?
But you got the Suicide Squad that we talked about, but then they're gonna have like Superman and Lois, so you may have something from them because you know they're supposed to be dropping. Maybe there's just a lot of going on. And I think that I've done a few of these online seminars and conventions before, and some of them are kind of cool because these guys can all do their own. They can film this stuff a week ahead, you know, and actually have it in there. So they could have all these people show up. You don't have to worry about moving body, you know, people from room to room, waiting for people to pile in. You can just go, okay, hey, you know, at this time, bam, we're going to have this video drop.
And I'm telling you, like I said, was it 2 weeks ago? And you agreed. I think this, you know, we're being forced to do this, obviously, because, you know, self-quarantine or quarantine, depending where you live at. But I think going forward, they should keep this formula as well. I mean, when the crowds do come back, because they're going to come back, they're going to figure out an antidote. It's going to happen. It may not be as large. Maybe you can't go to San Diego Comic-Con. But if you could just stream it and charge like maybe a price for the weekend, like say, hey, you know, I can't make it. But if, you know, for, you know, $25, you have all the access to everything. And you could actually, you know, type in super chat questions or there's a lot of stuff you could do.
Yeah. I don't know if these guys are going to do like San Diego is. San Diego is free. I haven't heard any word on anything forward DC. I would hope it would be free like San Diego is, because again,
this year it's going to be free, obviously, but I'm just saying like in the future, if you wanted to do that, when everything does get back to normal, you could actually, you know, instead of paying like, you know, what I've heard people who've gone to Comic-Con and for actually the 3 days they spent like, you know, almost $5,000.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, hotel. Yeah, room, I mean, hotel I know, rooms, I know what I drop when we go to MegaCon. I mean, we're talking the tickets. You know, luckily I buy the tickets, you know, 8 months in advance or 6 months in advance. So that's not so big, you know, but they're usually that's, you know, $120-$130 for the tickets for all weekend. And then the hotel room for two nights. Cause we usually go out Thursday for half a day, go home, and then we're back out Friday and Saturday night. And then of course food, you know, it's not that, you know, everything's a little bit more expensive out there. So, you know, it's not like you're going to be making any, you know, having a dinner or anything at the house. So yeah, no, it's definitely, I think I equated everything when we boiled it down. I think it was like, of course, you know, anything you buy while you're out there,
yeah,
you know, your tchotchkes and everything. You know, you're talking like $500-$600. I think dropped that during that, just that weekend.
Spend money. I mean, you're always going to spend money when you go to those places. That's eye candy for us.
Yeah.
Anything like, ooh, I'm going to get that.
That's what I'm kind of curious to see what's going on, because our MegaCon here in Orlando can't get canceled out, but they're doing something on a Halloween weekend for the people that had already bought tickets before they postponed it or canceled. They actually went and full canceled it and just said, hey, MegaCon will be next year, but we're going to do this special MegaCon for people that already bought their tickets.
I really hope that comes to fruition. In Halloween, man. I am just praying any way I can, like, you know, hopefully this thing can start to dissipate, the numbers go down, because that's the big month. Halloween is, I mean, that's our basically our Super Bowl too.
Yeah, that's our
very busy, very busy. And then that's going to be leading up to Kaiser, which is going to be 2 months before that. So that's going to be basically running for the hills, as the quote Iron Maiden. I'm going to be running hard those times. It should be very fun. Can't wait. Buy some masks, trick or treat. Good stuff.
Yep. So so you got anything there?
You know what? I got something interesting. I actually pulled this up today. I want to get your thoughts on this. It says the X-Men are coming to the MCU. We know this.
Yeah.
Even though some of you may disagree or agree. I'm kind of indifferent. Don't care either way. But it says a new rumor, and it's just a rumor. Let me put my quotes, rumor. It's circulating that the MCU, one of the first mutants to be introduced, won't be Wolverine. It won't be Jean Grey. But it's going to be Firestar. Yes, remember Firestar?
Yeah.
Spider-Man and his amazing friends in the early 80s, that animated show? Yeah, that's one of the rumors, that she might be the first mutant. And then by reading this, I mean, sure. I mean, she's, like I said, she's not really well-known unless you're in our space. So if you want to do that, I mean, you create your own new version of Firestar. Like I said, I like where their head's at, because you don't want to, like, you know, you don't want to, I was going to say something really bad. Gotta bite my tongue. You don't want to let all the cookies out of the bag right away.
Right.
You know, you want to keep some back. So what do? You throw some crumbs here and there. And not to say that Firestar is a crumb, but, you know, just, I'm going to give you a little bit of nugget. Here's this. Just to whet your appetite. You have this now. I'm not going to give you the big cookie yet, but I'm going to give you this little one. And little by little, I'm going to just keep feeding you.
Yeah.
So eventually, I'm gonna open the whole bag.
I think I read that article, now that I'm thinking about it, and I thought they were talking about that it was like something was weird that they were going to try to introduce with Spider-Man, but then Spider-Man's not really MCU; it's part of the SPU MC or whatever they're calling their
name. What's it called, Spud or something?
No, it's like SPUMC.
Spunk.
So I'm like, okay. Well, what is that? Is it Spider? I don't know what it stands for. It doesn't make any sense.
I think we laughed when we heard that. I was like, Spunk? Really? Yeah. Out of all the names?
Yeah, I was like,
do something else?
Yeah, so but yeah, that was the one. I think I remember seeing that came out today, was they were saying that, like, she's sort of part of the Spider-Man universe. Or are they gonna bring her into the Spider-Man, or are they gonna bring her into the MCU? Because you gotta be careful if they bring her into the Spider-Man universe. Again, that's not the MCU. That's not even touching the MCU. I mean, other than the fact of Spider-Man. And that's just, it's one of those weird areas that little contract between Spider-Man and Disney, or, you know, can come into a weird play. So, but again, it was something that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. I know there was a list of Marvel characters that somebody had released, somebody that was, like, you know, a pretty decent source. And he was saying that, yeah, these were our list of, you know, Cyclops, I think Cyclops, Avalanche, or Havoc, sorry, Nightcrawler, Fire, I think Firestar, I think, was Firestar in that list, or?
I think she might have been.
Yeah, I have to check on that one again. But, I think that's the best way, just to introduce one. I think they were talking Storm, you know, because the Beyonce rumor went, like, freaking wildfire across the internet.
Yeah, wow,
the Beyonce fans that's were like insane. Up in arms screaming yes, and all the other comic book fans were like, hell no.
Hell no.
it was a very very divided group online, and it was very passionate ways. But that rumor got squashed so fast from, I think it was Variety. They came through and said, hey, listen, that news article came from, like, Sun, which I think is like the British tabloid. So
yeah, I think it is a British tabloid.
But again, but then, you know, you and I talked about that, like, you know, well, yeah, that's the great way. She's from Africa. She's from, show her being from Wakanda. Show her being in a relationship, not in a relationship, but having a relationship of some sort, friendship or whatever, with T'Challa and with Siri, and have that, show that little, you know, friendship. And then, but then there's something different about her. You know, and they know there's something different because, you know, Wakanda's always, you know, more advanced. And, you know, they know, okay, well, she's not normal. But then they can say, well, we also know there's a lot of other people out there that aren't normal. And now that just lays the plant or the seed for things to come for the Marvel Universe and the mutants. Because, yeah, that's one, I think, one of the big things you and I always talked about was, you know, with Xavier and Magneto, you know, their history is the long... but mutants weren't known during their earlier years. They were just, hey, I'm different, you're different, let's say, let's kind of work together. And I don't think it was until like the 70s that they like the mutant thing started coming being made public, 70s and 80s, you know, in their timeline.
Like I said, I mean, there's a lot of ways, and we've discussed this before, that you can weave the mutants in there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, literally, I mean, you can go multiverse. That's probably the easiest. You can go after Tony Snap. You could do it like that. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't Tony Snap that was the important one. It was Hulk's.
It was the Hulk Snap, yes.
Remember, Hulk brought everybody back, so he was the important one.
Yeah, he was.
Everybody forgets about that because...
You know, that is true. Everybody does forget about the Hulk snap a lot.
The Hulk's the one that brought everybody back. So maybe
they think of the Thanos snap, of course. Yeah. And then we think of the Tony snap. But nobody talks about the Hulk snap. That's
because the only thing Tony snap did was destroy things. It didn't bring anything back. Hulk's the one, the big destructive machine, is the one that brought everybody back. You know, so it's a very, you know, poignant thing. But maybe something happened because of him being gamma radiated. Maybe when he did the snap, something triggered in the genes, and now maybe some of those ones that came back after the snap, and yes,
they
it's called the snap.
Related.
Now they could be, those people can now be going, hey, wait, I'm having a mutant power, and you know, holy crap, what's going on? So that's one I guess we never really looked at.
That's not a bad one. Yeah, that's a good theory. You could definitely use that. And he said it too before he actually put the glove on. He's like, you know, it has to be me because you know that the power in those stones is mostly gamma.
Gamma, exactly. Yeah.
So it's just you could find a way to weave that.
Yeah,
that
one I almost would accept. I could almost accept that as a reason.
All these mutants who are created are basically, you know, forms of gamma, which is fine. I mean, you have to update the story somehow.
You can't
go like the old school ways. Well, everything has to be updated and everything has got to change. We have to adapt.
Well, I mean, there was there may be, don't quote me on this. I mean, we're talking, you know, literally 50, 60 years of mutant books out there and a lot of them, of a reason why. Because even the first mutant, you can't blame it on radiation, because I know they tried to – that was the one thing that, you know, Stan Lee was like, you know, well, a lot of our problems are because of the radiation that we're using now, you know, the technology. But then you look at things that we had beforehand, Apocalypse. You know, you see those other mutants. So you can't really say every mutant's that way because of that.
Mm. Yeah.
Actually, I read something today, and I think you will love this. They are talking about doing something with the Clone Wars now. There is a rumor kicking around, a spinoff animation. I think I talked about a couple weeks ago that there was talk looking for like voice actors and things like that. But it looks as though they're probably going to try to do a spinoff of the Clone Wars and focus primarily on one thing from season 7. The Bad Batch.
The Bad Batch. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, and they're talking of, it's like an anime spinoff on Disney Plus. We'll focus Bad Batch from season 7. I was like, awesome. I would love to see that.
Dude, the Dirty Dozen of freaking Clone Wars. Yes.
When I read that, I was like, oh, Kane's going to like that one. That's just like really cool, because they were fun part of the season 7. And it was a good way of getting back into the Clone Wars, especially, I mean, we're talking years since we had season 6. It was nice to revisit Rex and all the gang and see where, you know, where that group, where not Bad Batch was, but where the other clones were. And then we get introduced to the Bad Batch, who are just like very tokenized characters. We've seen them all before, but they were just something interesting about them.
They were just fun. They're just interesting, man. You have like these clones, because basically when the clones are created, they're built a very stringent way. I mean, they have one way of thinking, one way of doing things. These guys weren't that way. Mm-mm. They almost like, I always compare it to the, trying to think, old early 80s TV shows, Knight Rider, and he had his enemy, which was Carr. And the thing about that was differences about that Carr had free will and Kit wanted to save lives. So that's how kind of the Bad Batch is. They have like their own way of thinking. They're freer thinkers.
They're the A team of the
yes. good pull. You continue your streak from last night, sir. Good stuff.
Because you got your crazy guy, you got your pilot, you got your heavy.
You know what? That is the 18 of Clone Wars. Now they got to get a ship that's shaped like that van. Black and red, just little red stripe
going down it.
Or they could even have on their helmets too.
But yeah, I mean, just how they joined, you know, and what happened when they left. We can see, obviously, we know that the clones are going to go away very quickly after this, because, you know, when they were introduced, we only have another week before the Great Purge happens. in, you know, Star Wars mythology, you know, and you know, when the Clone War, you know, the whole the Civil War ends, so then maybe we'll, you know, the journey will be what are they doing after? So this would be a good way of following what happened to the misfit guys that don't fit in, never fit in with the regular group, but guess what? Now that the war's over, and we already know what the clones went through, having to find their own lives. We saw that kind of in Rebels, you know, when we ran into Rex and all those guys that were living on that walker. But to actually see something like with Bad Batch, I mean, they maybe them turning into bounty hunters, and then again, they could delve into that area that you love the most. You know, the darker side, so level 33 and or level 13. You know,
yeah, you could have that. You could bring all those scripts back and have them be a part of it, like you said, like a rogue bunch of bounty hunters, or they could be bounty hunters hunting bounty hunters.
Yeah,
that would be a cool premise. You could even have them show up in The Mandalorian.
Yeah, that's I mean, if they go that route. So again, just a rumor I read. I don't remember where I got this from. But yeah, I was like, when I saw the possibility of them doing a spinoff with a Bad Batch, I was pleasantly happy to see that. I really was.
Hey, you remember Ezra Miller?
Yep.
By the way, he's still the Flash, guys. Nothing's happened to him. And if you noticed that big blow up that happened, was it a couple months ago? Have you heard anything about it?
No, I told you nothing was going to happen.
No, I knew it. I said, like, the video looked very just too.
It looked like it was somebody goofing around.
Yeah, someone was goofing around.
And whoever was yelling in the background didn't realize that it was a goof. Nothing happened. Thank you, Twitter.
Thank you, social media. All lies, right? Speaking of that, Andy Muschietti, who did the It Part 1 and 2. I love Part 1. Didn't like Part 2 too much. He's confirmed on a Twitter, Instagram, that Ray Fisher will be back in the Flash solo film.
Very cool.
Which is pretty cool. I like their dynamic in Justice League for the few scenes they had.
Yeah. At the end. The Gravediggers.
I loved when they were the Gravediggers, that was great. That was one of the best parts. And I think in the Snyder Cut, they have more scenes together, which I'm looking forward to that. And alongside this rumor is another rumor. Apparently WB is talking to somebody else from the Snyderverse to reprise. Actually, not reprise. Well, he's going to reprise the role and play a different version. That's Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yes, I did see that one. I was like, oh, that's an interesting rumor. But that's.
I mean,
if you're going to cast him. Yeah, I mean, that means if they're casting him, they're touching Flashpoint. I didn't think they were going to go. I always heard the thing was, no, we're not going
to
do Flashpoint. But then
again, you don't have to do Flashpoint.
No, you don't. No.
You don't. I mean, you could have him in there. I mean, he could just be like an alternate version of, you know, Thomas. But you could have that Flashpoint Batman.
If you're going to make Flashpoint an alternate version of Thomas, you're not going to do that one. That's a slap in the face of every comic book fan and watcher. For everybody that, when we did see Justice or saw, you know, Batman v Superman, when we saw Jeffrey Dean, we all just lost it. You know, that's just like, handing us a carrot and then going, well, it's carrot soup instead of a carrot. You know, it's like, you're not giving us exactly what we want, and you know you can do it.
And you teased the hell out of us, what you did. I remember after that movie came out, the big thing is like, build the fan art online. And the first thing they were drawing was like the Flashpoint Batman. Mm-hmm. That was the first thing that everybody came to mind. I'm like,
well, not only that, but the Joker, with the actress that played his wife. Yeah, I can't remember off the top of my head.
She was a Walking Dead also.
Yeah, and but I mean, you if you're gonna have, again, it's probably like kind of the movie we watched last night. We in Deep Blue Sea, folks. If you've never haven't seen Deep Blue Sea in forever, but at the beginning of the movie, there's this office scene, and it's between the main actor, the doctor, and Samuel L. Jackson, and there's a silent member just sitting at the desk. He's obviously the man in charge. He's at the big desk in a leather chair, doesn't say a word. It's Ronnie Cox.
Ronnie Cox, okay, man.
You have Ronnie Cox in here, and you don't do anything. Again, I equate that to the Batman, to Thomas and Martha, is you have these amazing – you could have had thrown away actors. They didn't have to be a big name in there. Why go to the steps of – putting these big name people in there and not having a good solid plan to do with them,
or do something with them. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. They're gonna do something. I mean, they have to. You don't put those two in there like you just said.
I mean, I understand at the time they had a big plan and then they fell like hardcore right flat on their face. I get that, but now that you're got, now that they're like cleaning themselves up, brushing themselves off, going, okay, yeah, we are moving forward, but we're not going to go forward exactly the way we wanted. We're now going to go maybe concentrate on the second tier of the Justice League, which is fine. But again, that second tier can include that Thomas Wayne, and you don't have to have a Batman actor in there.
Nope.
You don't. He can now play the Batman from that universe. And I'm sorry, it's, if you talk about one of the best story arcs of all time in DC, is Flashpoint. You know, and you can get away with it. I
still watch that movie at least a couple
times. Oh, yeah, I still love it. And it's great. I mean, they still reference it not only in, like, animated movies. They just did it on the last animated movie. But they reference it all through the comic books every once in a while. Just, you remember Flashpoint? What happened? They always just, like, this little nod about, hey, you remember? Yes, I remember. And then,
especially the speedsters, when they talk to the speedsters. All the speedsters remember Flashpoint. They remember this? Why it was called Flashpoint? Even though the CW did their version of Flashpoint, which I thought sucked.
Yeah,
it was, I'm sure you saw it. Yeah. I mean, I thought it was just like, that's not Flashpoint.
No,
that was, that was like something else.
You can call it what you want, but again, even there, they still have a Flashpoint, and they understand how the importance of having a Flashpoint and something like that to happen. So I just I think they realized they screwed up when. What's the term that they always say? Don't run before you walk. That's what DC tried to do. They tried to run before they even crawled.
They tried to fly before they walked.
Yeah, it's like, listen, woo-hoo, bring it down. And I think they're
American,
like,
hero stop.
Yep, flat, and then they go, stop. Okay, let's slow my roll. And now that's what we're seeing now. And again, I think they can get away with that. They can do the Batman with Robertson, and have that, and then still turn around and do a Batman with you know, Jeffrey Dean. Again, I'd love to see that. I mean, he's one of my favorite actors. I just don't see enough of him. And, you know, I wasn't a Walking Dead fan, so I didn't really get a chance to check him out, you know, on There Is Negan. But, you know, when he was anything else he's done, I've always tried to jump on, you know, and watch, because I think he does a great job. I even remember watching him. God, I hate to say this. I'm so sorry.
If you say Grey's Anatomy, we'll stop this podcast right now.
Okay. Sorry, folks. We'll see you guys later.
Oh, boy. I'm late.
But, yeah, no, that's – no. Well, I had a girlfriend I was seeing at the time, and she got into it, and she bought – or no, somebody let her borrow, like, a bunch of the seasons, and we literally binge-watched, like – overnight. We would be up until like 4 a.m, you know, and of course, you know, I was young and in love, and so I stayed up with her and watched it. But he was one of the things I liked about, that's when I was like, okay, I can watch this. He's kind of good. I like him. And then that's just when I became a, you know, somebody that liked his style. So,
dude, he's always going to be John Winchester.
He's
always Papa Winchester, man. I mean, he made that show for a while. I mean, if you think about it, he's barely in it, and he's so iconic.
Yep.
I mean, if you think, I think he's only in a handful of episodes. I think 5, 6. I don't think he's even in double digits.
Yeah, I don't know. No, definitely not double digits. But I'd say probably more than 5 or 6. I'd push like 8, 9. He's like right on the edge of double digits.
The mother was in more episodes because she was actually in a season.
Yeah. So, you know how lately we've been dealing with our own pains and our own heartache of the big wigs in Hollywood touching our toys and messing with what we grew up on. It's time for the 90s, kids. I saw that they are in development of the Animorphs movie is in development right now.
Boy.
So any of you guys that, if you remember the Animorphs, I mean, you would probably kind of know some of this, but they were part of the Scholastic School, Scholastic books. They had
yes, they were. They're a huge part of it, actually.
Yeah, they had. God, how many books did they have? They had.
All I know is I've seen a ton of them.
Yeah,
in that warehouse. There's like,
I thought I wrote down the number that there was like 30. Yeah, there was tons of books, but there's talks right now of them doing that. Let's see. This is a film adaptation is going to be produced by Scholastic Entertainment. They're looking at Kathleen Friedman, Eric Feig, and Lacey Kitato for overviewing the script. And so there's part of, I mean, it's nothing new. Scholastics has been doing it for a little bit. They had the Goosebumps that came out through Sony, Clifford the Big Red Dog through Paramount. Which will be released later this year. It has been out. So if anybody, I was like, oh, Big Red Dog. I grew up with
them. I think they did a movie of Diary of the Wimpy Kid. That's another one of theirs.
Is that classic? Okay. So, yeah, you know, Diary there's, yeah, that's the only ones that they had on here. But so those are, so that'll be interesting. So yes, you 90s folks, you 90s kids, you Gen Ys, they're touching your stuff now. Sorry.
Touching your stuff.
Sorry. we've had our toys touched. We've had them played with and they've screwed
mutilated
them up
and
yeah, so it's your turn, so enjoy.
Get to feel the pain now, understand.
Yeah they're not going to get your characters right. They're one's going to be a different sex thing, and they're gonna butcher probably one of the most favorite characters you ever had. So just brace yourself,
just get ready for it.
Breathe in, brace yourself.
Start a podcast and get angry about it. That's what I say. This is gonna happen.
Yeah. If you want to, come on here and talk to us about it. We need an angry, you know, Gen Y to explain the hatred of this.
Can we have that? I'm gonna put that in the ad. An angry Gen Y we need in the third chair.
Yep,
that's what I want. Come aboard. We're talking Animorphs.
Angry Gen Y, preferably. You know, we definitely want, you know, we want to get some female a female perspective. Even we don't want to get rid of the, we don't want to have the stigma of, you know, the two 40-year-old white men talking to about, you know, their childhood. Let's open it up. Spanish.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Now you're Spanish, so I guess that we're kind of safe on that. So
yeah, we're safe.
But I guess you count as our token minority, huh?
Yeah. Yes, master. Thank you very much.
Oh man, that means I'm the only white dude. Damn it!
That's right. You're the power, man.
Crap. All right. Boy. Yeah. So, but yeah, but no, I'm not joking, guys. If there is anybody out there that wants to join in, please just, if you know anybody, if not you guys, but if you have a friend that's interested, let us know. We'll, you know,
yeah,
we got extra chair
on Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah, I can make extra room up here on the screens for you guys. You know, I can make a little extra box over here or over here, and you know.
Well, I think the big thing is when you talk to people about actually coming on, there's a little bit of intimidation factor, thinking like, oh, well, I don't have all this equipment. And the truth is, I guess I'm gonna let you finish the sentence.
You can do it with your phone.
Exactly.
one of our guests we've had before, he was on his phone.
Yeah,
you know, I think he was grocery shopping. Honestly, I think.
Yeah.
When I re-listened to mixing, I could swear I heard grocery bags.
Yeah, I gotta find him where he is. He's somewhere around here. I have to look in one of the cells. Maybe I'll let him out.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So Animorphs are coming, folks. So be prepared to have your bubbles burst.
Yep. You get watched as your childhood gets destroyed right in front of your eyes, and you can come on here. To talk to Daddy Kane,
ooh,
Daddy
Kane.
Mike, and we'll get you through.
Is that Big Daddy Kane?
I like that. Well, I think you shot that name down. It was Kane for a while. Then you were like, no. So that was denied.
All right. You got something else here? Or
I got something. It's pretty cool. Have you watched the CWC series, any of them?
Yes, I'm a big fan of those.
Yeah, me too.
I watched originally Constantine 1, and then earlier this year, I think the one you're getting ready to talk about came out with I think it was only like a 50-minute long movie.
Yeah.
But I think they're doing another one that's going to be longer. So, I mean,
yeah.
I think you got
It's called Knights and Dragons.
Yep. That's what the CW was. That's what the show was, so.
I don't know if they're taking those episodes and putting them in one thing, but
there's only one episode on CW, but it's like a mini movie. It's or like an hour long show. Like I said, I want to say it was like 55 minutes or something like that.
I'm looking at it right now. Based on CWC premiered back in January, the movie is going to add an extra 50 minutes of footage.
Oh, wow. So there we go. Okay. Yeah, so it's going to be a lot better. Yeah. I enjoyed it. Did you get a chance to watch it?
Yes, I did. I loved it. I mean, if you want a solo Deathstroke movie, that's the way you got to go.
Best way of doing it, yeah.
That's the best way. You make him an assassin, a murdering assassin, and I mean, he's intelligent as well. I mean, I love that scene where he kills a guy in the office, and he thinks he's going to kill him, but he kills somebody else. He's like, "You're going to be in charge now." And then you know, because they need somebody like a devil to be in charge. I forgot what he said, but actually, he's voiced by Michael Chiklis, which did a great job. Oh, he's so good. And it's like the way that he emotes and, you know, as Deathstroke, I was like, ooh, I like this Deathstroke. That's the Deathstroke I've always wanted, like just murdering kind. Even though Asa Morales on the Titans show, he did a good job as Deathstroke. That was more the comic version of Deathstroke.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it, to see, I mean, to add more to it, because I think if there's ever those movies, and I was one of those ones that said I don't think an origin story movie centered around a villain is great without a hero, but these are good. This is the way to do it. If you are going to do it, you show that he has somewhat of a heart. He's doing it for a reason. There is a meaning behind it, but he's himself has been just taken over by what he does.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, I think it's one of the best ways of doing it. And see an extra 55 minutes of that, I think will be great to see.
Yeah, that's definitely they should definitely keep a run with these CW Seed series. And
because that's where the Constantine one came from. And the Constantine one was just amazing.
And I believe when they did the Constantine one, Matt Ryan was not yet cast in the CW. And if I remember correctly, they played those in the Seed, and then I guess they got really a lot of views on that channel.
He'd already been on Constantine.
I have to find out.
I think he was in the show. Yeah, so he'd already played Constantine. They just hadn't said, "Hey, well, we're going to pull that other Constantine back in to be in here." So yeah, he wasn't on Legends at that point, but he had already done the TV series, the ill-fated TV series. Unfortunately, if anybody's interested in watching, DC Universe has got them all.
I believe it was 13 episodes.
Yeah, it wasn't a full season like you would have expected, but usually pilot a series, a pilot episode season is usually only 13 for any show. And then this is usually the second season is when you get the full, 22, 24 or whatever they choose.
It's funny because let me get your opinion on this. You saw all 13 episodes of Constantine, mm-hmm. right?
Okay. Yeah.
You remember the last episode, they were hinting at the Spectre.
Yeah.
Is that the same actor who played the Spectre in the crossover?
No, it was not. Yeah, because I thought it would have been cooler to bring that guy in.
Yeah, because through that whole episode, you kept seeing he's got a destiny.
That's the kind of thing that bothers me a little bit about the Arrowverse is they sort of forget the show. Like there's certain things that they do that they forget about the show. They don't reference the show. They don't when Constantine sees Spectre, he should have known who he was instantly because he's already had communication with him. If anybody's going to recognize who the Spectre is and know who he is, would have been Constantine, but in the crisis, he's like, "Who are you, bloke?" I'm like, "No, dude, Legends."
I don't think he ever said anything to him. I think he just brushed him by.
Yeah. You look at Legends. Legends has the same thing. When you look at the house, the mystery house, they've never named it Mystery House, but it's supposed to be the mystery house that John owns. But when you looked at the television series, that was the true mystery house.
That had every nook and cranny, had
some occult item or some cursed something. It was a fun house for the occultists. And but when you look at the house that they have now, it's just an old house. And I'm like, it's like they forget about it and don't want to touch it. I don't understand why.
Too, because the fun house was so cool in Constantine, like the different rooms, mm-hmm. different dimensions and all that. That was cool. You saw you saw the helmet of Dr. Fate, which I thought mm-hmm. I remember when one of the girls, it was the girl, and she's like, "What is this?"
Don't touch it.
Like, "You want to touch that?" I was like, "Oh, come on!"
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, just it was just so much in there, and now they have this boring house. It's just old. The only thing they hinted at was the house having its own personality was in one of the episodes where I mm-hmm. think they went back or they went back in time where they ran into Jack at the Ripper, Bonnie and Clyde, Caesar, and they all were staying at the house, and it was a hotel at the time, and after the shows, they wrapped up everything, everybody leaves, and Constantine goes to leave, and the old lady that's the watcher, the owner of the house, or the caretaker, he walks over to her and says, "I thought you weren't going to do that anymore," and he makes a hint that, "Okay, I know who you are," and she just kind of gives a look. I think she just nods at him and just kind of smirks, a little wink, and that's about it. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I think that they even suggested that the house had its own consciousness. So
yeah, that was it. And then you had a couple other rooms where Astra's mother's locked up
but that was nothing. As soon as he walked in there, the symbols on the door went away.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. That's what I noticed, because that was in my head. I'm watching, I go, "Is this mystery house? Is this mystery house?" Because you said there was a mystery house. I'm like, "Okay, is this it?"
Yeah.
And I watched, I was like, "Okay, well, they've got this writing on the door." And then the second the door closed, the writing went away. I'm like, okay, that's not the Mystery House. The writing would have stayed if it was.
It would have faded. Yeah, it doesn't.
But you know, somewhere online, one of the wikis, they claim that that's the Mystery House. So I'm like,
Well, they have to do some work.
Yeah,
they got to do some work. I'm sorry, that is not my Mystery House. Yeah. That's not my Mystery House, damn it.
But speaking of DC Universe, your beloved, your ill-fated Swamp Thing's coming to live television.
And they're going to neuter it.
Basically, they're not neutering. Well, they are sort of, but they've been doing this already, and I didn't realize they were. Basically, with the COVID-19, everything's, production has stopped on everything. Well, DC Universe has these done shows, so they're WB's, grabbing Swamp Thing and Stargirl and putting them on the CW. Now they're cutting out 10 minutes per show, and it's mostly because when it was written and produced, it was for a streaming service that didn't have any commercial breaks. So they're having to remove, they said in the first episode, 20 minutes of material will be cut from the pilot episode alone. But now, again, this isn't the first time they've done it. Stargirl. People that are watching Stargirl on CW aren't getting the Stargirl that I'm watching on my DC streaming universe. They're missing 15 minutes per episode because of the cuts that they do on because of the commercials. So I'm interested. I want to, now that I know that Stargirl I'm watching is the director's cut, if you want to call it that. I'm kind of curious. I think I'm going to pull up CW and watch the episode and see what I missed or what's being cut, because I'm kind of curious what they're going to do when Swamp Thing comes out. There's a couple of scenes, you can take away them driving up somewhere that, that's going to take out, 30 seconds.
Take up the chaffa out.
There's like little things here and there, they can cut, when them walking up to a house, you can cut some stuff off of that. You don't need to see them walking from the sidewalk up to the house. You can see them walking at the stairs. So that I can see definitely, but I just hope they're not cutting anything else out.
I'm hoping that series, by the way. That series is so good.
Yeah, guys, if nobody's gotten DC Universe, because you don't want to, which I completely get. It's only $7.99, but I think it's worth it with the comic book stuff you get in there. But if you haven't yet, check out. You're gonna see, like I said, Stargirl's on there now, and Swamp Thing's gonna be on there. Swamp Thing is just great writing, great production.
The music, atmosphere. I was raving about that show for months to you, and then you were right behind me, because I kept telling you, when is he going to show up? And then, the story itself, then, the area and the way they made the Swamp Thing just, creepy.
Mm-hmm. And then everything they did, and right up to the end. And what I'm crossing my fingers for is a miracle happens.
Oh, I hope so.
I think I want to see the opposite miracle that we've seen happen before, where a network show gets canceled and it gets moved over to a streaming service and it gets saved. I want to see a streaming service show that got canceled, moved over to a network, and get saved. I want to see that, and I want to see it happen so bad with this show.
And I want to see that same vibe they had in the show too.
Yeah, they just got to grab everybody. Just get everybody. Unfortunately, I'm sure a lot of them have already moved on to other jobs. But if they somehow could get everybody back, I think it would be great.
If you're a huge fan of the DC, mystical world, that is the series for you. Because it's not only Swamp Thing. Come on, we had the Phantom Stranger show up.
Phantom Stranger, the Blue Devil.
And then we had your favorite, the Blue Devil.
Yeah. I was just in awe when Blue Devil showed.
And then the ending, if you guys haven't seen it yet, spoilers, but the Floronic Man shows up as well.
Yeah, when you see the ending, and that's when we're watching. I think we were four episodes in, and we heard, they're canceled. Yeah. And it was almost like this little bitter, do I even want to bother watching this?
I was pissed. I don't know. And then you kind of encouraged me, just watch it.
See it to its final conclusion, and go from there. But hopefully we'll see a resurgence. That's crossing my fingers, hoping things. People will be able to watch it. I'm sure people will still be a little leery about wanting to get out and do things and embrace it. And guys, just check it out. You might really enjoy it. And there's a lot more of that stuff on the DC streaming service. You can get that for $7.99, or you can go and buy your HBO for 14 something, and you can catch up Titans and Doom Patrol on there if you want. You know, but if you can get, you can get $7.99, and you can get all that stuff. Titans, Doom Patrol, Stargirl.
Season 2 drops this week.
Friday starts.
Yeah.
Yep. So Friday, Doom Patrol. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that because I think Harley just ended. So that means, yeah, the new show starts. DC's been doing pretty good. They've got a consistent one or two shows going on there. And like when one drops, new one kicks in. I think at one point, they think in between Titans and Swamp Thing or so, there was maybe a month that there wasn't anything rolling out new, but they've been pretty good.
Well, they had Young Justice for a while too.
Yeah, Young Justice, yeah.
And then that stopped, and then something else came.
They'll talk about maybe doing something more with that. So again, just getting everybody together in the right rooms and getting things done. So, well, we will shall see.
My only suggestion for Young Justice is, can you please show us Darkseid now?
Yeah, let's not have the same ending again.
Please don't do what you did last season. Don't do that.
Don't end it like they did the prior season?
Yeah, where you're basically setting up, and I'm like, yes. And then I'm thinking I'm going to get this, and what do I get? I get Granny Goodness.
Yeah.
No offense to Granny Goodness. No, I like her.
Love her to death. I
love all the shit with the New Gods and all that stuff. Yeah. We saw Barda. We saw the Furies and... Yeah, but you know, we saw Darkseid at the ending of season 2. We saw him maybe one episode in season 3, and then that's it.
Then you saw him again standing there looking over the universe. Yeah,
looking ominous, looking brooding.
It's like, okay, we saw that before, dude. We saw that backside already. Let's move on.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of Darkseid.
Oh yeah.
I didn't want to bring this up, but I guess I should.
Yeah, might as well. It was there.
It's the elephant in the room. Zack Snyder released a clip from his upcoming Snyder Cut, which is coming out next year, May 2021. And it is a basic clip that shows Diana looking at a wall that has Darkseid on it. And I guess on both sides, it has like the arms of man or woman. I think somebody said there were Stanagarians on there and lanterns. I didn't see that painting too well, but yeah. So we have Darkseid in a painting. Okay, cool.
Well, yeah, Darkseid in the painting. I mean, we'd already seen that before. I think that we'd seen that in like posts, like after the first movie came out, they're like, hey, these were things that we didn't add, you know, keep in there. So it wasn't anything new. But then it switched over to the live, to him standing in the, I guess, assume is Apocalypse. Him standing on the world burning.
Yeah.
You know, is that
the one where he's younger and he has like the spear?
I think so. Yeah, it's whatever image came out a couple of weeks ago. It was just the video to that. It was her and then him, and that was it. You know, the date of the release for the Snyder Cut. And that was all.
It's a nice piece of acting though, my gal. Though, you could see the terror on her face when she sees this man. Mm-hmm. Like, oh boy, like she wasn't afraid of nobody. She wasn't afraid of Darkseid. She wasn't afraid of Ares. But when she saw Darkseid, she was like, whoa, wait, this guy's for real.
Something quick. Just, I mean, we're gonna continue to see these things. Kind of keep our appetites wet for it coming. You know, that they announced it a way in the future. So we're gonna continue to see these things. We'll probably see one with.
He'll drop stuff every now and then, just to, you know,
like at least once appetite. A month, every other month, we might see something. You know, a small, again, a little 20-second, 30-second clip of something from it. So we'll keep they'll keep us interested. I'm not worried about that.
No, neither am I.
Free comic book day, man.
Do you see that they, what you
they, me? Did you see what they did? Instead of doing a comic book day, they changed it to a weekly event lasting all summer from, actually not monthly. No, it's September 15th, which just the last week, 5 days ago, 6 days ago, all the way through till September 9th.
Ooh.
Every week they will have some sort of new comic book release. So make sure you guys get out to your comic book shops and pick up some free books, but while you're there, pick up some new ones too.
Yeah, I got a couple I want to get. Just a couple ones.
Yeah, I mean, you've got the new death metal coming out there now. You've got Joker War starting.
I want to look up some older ones. Like I told you off air, I really want to start reading some JSA stuff.
Right.
This whole Stargirl stuff that's going on right now, like it's piqued my interest in the JSA, and I was never a big JSA fan. Like they're kind of weak. Like, I mean, Flash and Lantern, of course, but what about the other guys? I mean, you got Stripey on there, Starman, of course, Hourman. If you didn't see this week's episode, they actually were introducing some new members of this kitty version of the JSA. Yeah. We got Dr. Midnight, which I believe is going to be the girl, right?
Yeah.
With the goggles. Mm-hmm. She's the new Dr. Midnight. And we had Hourman.
Yep.
And then we had something that came up. We saw that Stripey basically goes into...
It's Stripey. She calls him Stripey just to tease him, but it's Stripey.
I'm going to call him Stripey. So Stripey goes into her room and goes in the bag. And what does he do? He takes the lantern away.
Yeah.
So,
but we saw it glowing.
Was it glowing?
That's what brought him over there is when he walked in, he heard like a little staticky sound in the green glow. And that's what drew him over to it. So where did you watch it? Did you watch it on CW?
Yeah.
Ah, see, I bet you that's one of the things they cut out.
Is that what it was?
I don't know. They're cutting stuff out of Stargirl too. So if you're watching at CW, you're not getting the whole thing. So maybe they cut out the fact that it was glowing green and like.
I didn't see it glowing
green. Yeah, see. Well, it wasn't like a uber glowy. He walked into her room because it looked for her and he heard it spark. And then you saw like a little glow in the corner, which drew him over to the bag. And that's when he opened it up. And then it wasn't glowing when he picked it up, but it was. Yeah, it happened like real quick seconds. So, but again, yeah, like he said, you know, they're talking, they are hinting. It's not like they're not going to eventually see these things, but we're probably not going to see these guys until next season. Now we're dealing with the JSA and the, you know, the Injustice League.
The NSA. Yeah. That's what they call them, the NSA, which I thought kind of cute.
But, we're dealing with them. So, you know, we're going to get these three characters. Four characters, you know, if you include, all the new kids and then Stripe. And then later, I think, well, they might start like talking about the mythology of Jay and the mythology of, you
was
know,
was the helmet shown yet or no?
Yeah. When they were in the Justice
League. I have to watch that episode again because I saw everything else, but I didn't see Jay Garrick.
Yeah. I think he was right after the lantern. And actually you saw her grab the helmet too.
Oh, I have to look at that episode again. I'm trying to figure out who the guy with the pen is.
I'm trying to remember what Justice Society. Some of them are very strange characters. Yeah, I mean, I've read them, but yeah, there were only a handful of them I like really got into, and the others were strange. I mean, to me, like the whole thing with Hourman, you have an hour of power. I was like, okay,
that's lame.
Yeah,
really. Yeah. And then he was like, but you know, he was a brilliant chemist. I'm like. I go, hell no. If he's a good chemist, he should find a way to get more power for an hour. How about 24-hour power?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I love Dr. Midnight. I love the hell out of Dr. Midnight.
Oh, Dr. Midnight's
that,
cool.
That when I was cool, like, oh, I don't know about that. Oh, wait, no, I do like that now.
I just like the way they added the touch with the goggles being like a sentient thing almost, or an AI. I mean, that's kind of cool.
Yep.
And giving it to the girl, that's fine. I mean, whatever.
Well, she's the brainy girl. You got to have the brainy girl with the brainy glasses to, you know, understand what he's saying.
And I guess so, that's what happens. So I don't think they're going to introduce any more. I think that's it.
No, right? I think that's the team now. And again, you have the rest. And like I said, I think if they get picked up for another season, guess what? You now have a small pool of new characters to introduce later on down the road.
I don't think they would introduce a Flash though.
I don't know, but they were saying the showrunner was like, well, we didn't just put these in here just to tease. So I don't know. I think they will eventually, but not for a while.
I don't know. I got not that I have a bad feeling, but I have like this uber feeling that they're going to introduce like a female Flash. I don't know why.
It could. I mean, you can have your Speedy and
I've already seen Jesse and Speedsters.
Yeah, I've got my fill of Speedsters. Sorry,
I'm
Flash.
I'm all
fans,
Speedstered but, out. Oh yeah. Man. Although. They are introing Godspeed, so
yeah, there is.
That's what I want to see. I want to see them do the Black Racer. That'd be cool, but I know that's connected to New Gods and stuff.
Yeah, that's all New Gods there.
I know. He'd be cool though. He's a weird character though.
Yeah.
Come on, he's what is he skiing through space?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And they updated his look finally, where he actually looked kind of cool, but before he looked really wacky.
Yeah.
Skiing through space, man.
So you got anything else?
I saw this. This is interesting. Do you remember the scrapped New Warriors TV show they were going to do? New Warriors. It was scrapped. It's not going to happen. They were going to do it. It was going to be for the creators who did the Runaways. They were going to do that.
No.
They actually confirmed that Keith David was going to be in the show and he was going to voice MODOK.
Oh.
Yeah. And when I read that, I was like, man.
That's interesting. That would have been an interesting one.
Joking me, man. You had like the perfect. Oh. You know how long I've been waiting to see MODOK?
Yeah.
I mean, good Lord. I mean, we had haven't even had any hints of him in the MCU, and they haven't even touched this guy. I know he looks a little strange, but
yeah, he does. Then
he's a little oddball, weird character. I mean, you watch him at Avengers Assemble. He's kind of like a butt of jokes and stuff, but he's a terrifying thing. I mean, think about it, floating around a head, little arms. And
yeah.
He wants to kill you. That's terrible. You could make a horror movie about MODOK.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing with the kind of the character. What's his name from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? I know they were kind of
probably Krang.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. He's kind of the same kind of concept. Maybe that's why they haven't touched it. Although MODOK's, you know, pre-Krang. So it's not like they would be like afraid of, you know, ripping people off. I mean, we've had Deadshot and or Deathstroke in Deadpool. So we've had them both out there. So I know people aren't afraid to say there's a comparison, which surprisingly I've never heard that being yelled out. So hopefully people are like actually doing their homework before they
actually
start opening mouth, which is kind of strange.
Yeah, going on Twitter ranting about things they don't know about.
The last one I got actually Spider-Verse stuff. I don't know if you had this on your list or not. But they are speculating that Spider-Verse will be. We heard about this a couple months ago about Madam Web movies. But they're also looking at doing a Spider-Woman. And there's talks that actually they may be one in the same movie, tying them together, which. I'm not a full blown. I know Madam Web controls the multiverse. I mean, she's a big factor into the Spider-Verse books because she's kind of the one that controls the web of time, basically, in the web of fate, and she controls what kind of where people come and go. But it might be interesting to have that together because I think that would be kind of cool to. A good way of bringing Jessica in. Because, I mean, I'd love to see Spider-Woman.
Is this like going to be live action or animated?
No, this is supposed to be part of the Sony's universe. So this is So this is going to match up there. We're not sure. You know, obviously, they're still in their infancy talking about it. But yeah, Madam Web and with Spider-Woman, I think, would be kind of cool to have a mentor-type situation for her. You know, to introduce her into the spider world.
I don't hate that.
No.
I don't hate that. Like, at first, when I thought about it, I was against it. But then I thought about it, you know, careful reflection, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kept going back to the animated series in the early 90s, where Madam Web was on there. Actually, I think she was on there for the final couple seasons. And she was involved in, like, the biggest arc of the show, which was like the multiverse of different Spider-Man, and they saved the multiverse from who but another Spider-Man, which I thought was kind of cool. A Spider-Man who had like, I think he had like he had one of the symbiotes in him or something. He went insane. I forgot the story. But having her there, you can introduce that multiverse too. That's where you're opening up worlds.
Yeah, and you can have her connecting, being able to bring in the true Peter Parker, you know, bring in the Tom.
Yeah.
The Tom, you know, Holland. And then have the Venom and have them all now. That's their interweaving thread. If they're going that route, I'm gonna give Sony a little, you know, hand clap. They sat underneath the learning tree of Kevin Feige and were like, okay, we're seeing what he's doing, but he's now running into a situation that how can he connect these other products now? I think they learned like, okay, well, let's put somebody in place that can be the marionette, the string puller to everything. And Madam Web's the perfect one. She can now pull in and cover the Miles Morales movie if they decide to go with that. You know what? You
just took the words out of my mouth.
I mean, she can be the one there to watch over everybody now.
She's the one that's going to bring in Miles.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Well, Miles could be in his own world, and Venom could be in his own world, and Spider-Woman, and then she can bring them in to then eventually do the live action into the Spider-Verse.
Which would be so cool,
you know. As long as they get Nick Cage to play Spider-Noir,
Nick Cage.
I mean,
Nick Cage has to come back.
Yeah,
that is not even a question.
Now, the only other person I would say, if not Nick Cage, and you may, I don't know how you feel, you are a fan, Keanu, because he can do the deadpan. He can do deadpan, and he can do the action. He can because Spider-Noir is more guns and fighting.
So he's like John Wick Spider-Man.
Why not? Well, you look at what Spider-Noir can do. I think he would be perfect. And again, you don't need to see his face. You don't need, but it, I think that would be a pretty good one.
You don't need a ball to dance.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Why is his coat moving? There's no wind.
There's no wind. I just love his intro story. It was so cool.
But yeah, that's something to look at.
To hell, we have to have a Spider-Noir solo movie. That's what I want. I don't even care about the Spider-Verse. Dude, I want Nick Cage.
You were just talking about getting out to the comic book store and picking up some old books. Pick yourself up some Spider-Noir.
I think that's what I'm going to do. Spider-Noir and JSA are going to be my two.
You'll definitely like some Spider-Noir.
I love Spider-Noir. There's nothing if you like the
old like kind of gangster like 1940s kind of thing, you're gonna dig this. I've done the couple of books I picked up from Spider-Noir. We're good, and I've always enjoyed him in the Into the Spider-Verse comic books. Actually, you should check those out, too. I think that would
be a good one for me.
It's a good way of getting your spider fix and getting, like, not just Spider-Man, but also all the other spider folks.
Little spider characters.
Yeah.
Some of them I like, some of them I don't like.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, there's a couple I'm like, I'm not, you know.
Like, what was the one that was the robot? I didn't really like that one.
Well, that one was more geared in... for the movie. There's another version of that in the comic books. It's not like that. It's not all K-pop anime kind of style. It's in that vein of anime, but it's not all happy. It's a little different. So that was the one I was like, why did they use her? They had so many other better characters to grab. But again, I mean, I get it. If you want to definitely pull in, you know, a international vibe, what better way? I mean, K-pop is, you know, huge.
K-pop is not huge. Yeah. It's majestic. I didn't even know how big that thing was. I looked it up online. I'm like, because I was just curious. I'm like, what is this K-pop thing? And I look it up, and I'm like, it's like a whole community.
It's like when we go to some of these conventions, you will literally run across tables that all they do is they sell candy and snacks from Japan. For that group, last MegaCon I went to there were more anime cosplays in there than I'd ever seen before. Like I've always been comfortable going to the conventions, but that one I was like, man, I don't because I'm not all anime. I don't
felt a little out of place.
Yeah, I did. Kind of felt a little out of place. And of course, one of our friends is there with us, and he's like, man, I just don't feel comfortable here. And he's a geek. He's your level one, level two geek. He's not full blown. You know, he's got his collection. He's got it in like a nice little case, and he is a fan of certain movies and television series, but. Yeah, he felt out of place, and then I kind of was like, yeah, I'm kind of feeling out of place myself because there's a lot of anime I don't know. I have my very tiny anime I like to watch, and I don't venture out too much. So,
which ones do you like? I'm curious.
Witch Hunter Robin, Robotech, which I've gotten on a big.
Which one? Gen 1?
Yeah, Gen 1, yeah. If anybody's got Tubi TV, you can watch all the Robotechs on there. You can watch the original Voltron series on there. You can watch all the Voltron series on there. So, yeah, I mean, those are the ones I'm into. You know, your standard red-blooded American anime. I don't go too far out. You know, Ghost in the Shell. You know, I'm kind of into Alita. But, you know, those I don't go too much deeper. My son's a huge anime fan, and that's just way outside my realm.
Is he Dragon Ball?
Dragon Ball. See, I never could get into Dragon Ball. Or
I love Dragon Ball, man.
So that was. But I think Dragon Ball came out. It came out also when I was at a certain age. I was like getting away. I had my geekdom, and I was comfortable in that world. And then I was doing adult stuff. So I was like, I don't have any room. I don't have any more room on my geek ship for anything, and I don't want to learn
it. The whole thing with the Dragon Ball for me, it was like I heard about it so much. I'm like, and I watched one episode. I was like, this is stupid. And then after a while, I was like, I guess I was trying to look at it from a different way. I was like, it's not serious enough for me. And then I started looking at it a different way. I go, this show is ridiculous. And that's how I got into it. Like, okay, now I get it. Now I get why people like this show so much because it's so ridiculous. It makes no sense. I mean, and then I'm like, okay, I'm in. I like Vampire Hunter D, Seven Sins, or Seven Deadly Sins. There's a couple other ones.
I came across, like, the one that I came across accidentally was that Witch Hunter Robin. That was just...
Oh, that's a good one, too.
That's... I've actually got all of them on DVD. I actually... our local store, our Gun and Comics local store, and I that's, shit you not, folks.
That's
a
real place, by the way.
This is a real place. They are Guns and Comics. Guns and Comics. First time I walked in there, like, I was literally 5 feet in the store, and there's a shelf of anime. And I'm just like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, I anime, you know, I'm just like just doing the scope of the floor, you know, and I'd like right second shelf down, full season or full all the episodes for Witch Hunter Robin. I'm like, yank. I was like, my new favorite place right now.
Guns and Comics, man.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's an interesting location.
I have to go in there. I've never been in there yet.
Oh, yeah, we got to take a trip up there one day.
Yeah, we got to take a little trip up there.
Maybe and you will love it. I mean, it's more comics and guns, so don't you know, people don't freak out. Yeah,
there's not rifles in there.
They've got a deep.
There's not a machine gun in there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, there is. Yeah, no, they've got guns. But no, this is actually one of the few places around here in like our local area that actually will carry your D&D figures and your paint and everything. Like, they've got a big wall for that. I've been trying to.
I'm gonna have to start getting back in the D&D.
And they've got a room. They've got a
D&D room.
They got a D&D room. Yeah, they got a war room back there as well. But yeah, I mean, it's really cool place. We were in there last Sunday. One of our friends and I, we were just driving around Sunday. Just we hit a convention and walked through it so fast. We're like, okay, let's just go to comic book stores then. So that's what we did and ended up there.
That's the best thing to do, man. Check out your local comic book shops. Go there. Support them. Mm-hmm. They need you. They need you.
Yep.
Actually, I was in the Acme and I got my comic stuff. So
very
good
cool.
stuff.
Yep. So that is all I've got. All my anything I could find this week. Like I said, guys, we're trying a different format. Let us know if you guys like this. We're trying to keep it light, talking, like we're just sitting here chilling out, having a few drinks, like we originally talked about. It was us at the Winchester just talking about comics and whatever, like, floated our boat.
Then we lost our way.
We love our friends, and I think we listened to some people, and we went our separate way. But we're going to also try, and I keep saying we're going to try to get out weekly on Facebook as well, so we can see, you guys can catch up with us on Facebook. We're all over there posting shit all week long, so, you know, and there's, you know, the community's very active now. So, you
very
know,
active, yeah.
Make sure, you
I don't,
know.
I don't even post stuff on Facebook anymore because they beat me to it.
Yeah, it's...
they're like, ah, I'm like, damn, they beat me.
Yeah, so, you know, it's out there, but I want to get more hands-on out there, so you might see our pretty faces video-wise. I've got it, trying to get it planned and set up.
Yeah, I actually, a couple weeks ago, I did an experiment. Didn't go too well, but maybe I'll keep trying.
Yeah, keep trying. Well, we figured out what happened there, so you'll be able to do it now.
Yeah, I think I'll do a better job next time, guys. Sorry.
All right.
What else? I guess that's it, right?
Yeah, that is it. Yeah, so guys, let us know what you thought about this. Give us a comment down at the bottom on YouTube. If not, give us a comment and over on our Facebook or Twitter page. So and you can find those where?
Twitter at the Heroes Asylum Podcast and Instagram at the Heroes Asylum as well. Facebook page is the main area of contact, as we said, the community is growing at the Heroes Asylum and the Heroes Asylum Podcast page. So I have to remember the Heroes Asylum podcast page. There's two pages, guys. Check it out. Never know. Might be some Facebook Live going on there. And from the captain, me to you, as always, have a good week and get to the asylum.
See you.